So last week we had one of the most important prophetic passages in chapter 9 of Daniel, talking about the 70 weeks of Daniel. Tonight we have in chapter 10 one of the most revealing chapters about the spirit world that we cannot see. Probably a better glimpse than just about any other chapter in Scripture, except maybe Job chapter 1. Where we get a glimpse of what's going on out there that we can't see with our eyes, but it's real. And it's amazing. So here in Daniel chapter 10, remember Daniel had been praying for his people. God came and gave him the weeks, the 70 weeks. And then here in chapter 10, we see another angel who we don't know his name. It's not Jesus, it's not Gabriel, and it's not Michael. It's another angel who comes and says to Daniel, I heard your prayer. And I'm here to say that God heard your prayer and I'm the answer. So notice verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes were as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like similitude to the sons of men touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me like one the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. So thy words were heard. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray now that we'd be encouraged by this passage about the power of prayer. And I pray that, Lord, it would just make it that much more real to us, that when we get on our knees and approach thy throne, great things are happening. And we thank you for the privilege of prayer through the blood of Jesus to the Holy of Holies. We thank you for this passage, and we pray now you'd use it to speak to our hearts. We give it to you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The actual vision will be in the next week's chapter, chapter 11. But you can see it's a very interesting chapter that Daniel prayed for 3 weeks. And this angel said, I heard your prayer at the beginning, but it has taken me 3 weeks to get here to answer it. That's amazing when you think about it, isn't it? 3 weeks he battled to get to Daniel to answer his prayer. We don't know who this man is. Now, in the Bible, angels always appear as men. We know it's not Michael because he talks about Michael separately. We know it's not Gabriel because Daniel recognized Gabriel in chapter 9. And we know it's not Jesus because Jesus doesn't have to fight a prince for 21 days. So we don't know who it is, but we know that he was sent by God to Daniel in answer to Daniel's supplications and his prayer. We know that because he said there in verse 11, unto thee am I now sent. So he was sent by someone else, which would be the Lord, of course. God sent this angel in answer to Daniel's prayer. But it took him 21 days to get there. Like I said, it reveals a world out there that we don't see with our eyes, but we know it's real. Let's look at a couple of scriptures, Psalm 91:11. And just be reminded that there are an innumerable company of angels. And if you're born again, they're on your side. That's a blessing to know. Notice Psalm 91 and verse 11. God says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, the devil tried to use this against Jesus. Remember when he was tempted in the desert. But it's still a beautiful statement about angels helping us. Another one is in Matthew 18, if you would turn over there, a verse that many don't understand. I don't 100% understand. But it implies that every child has an angel. Which, again, these are things we can't see with our eyes. But notice Matthew 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Whose angels? Children. Because the context is children. And he says, their angels. There's no other passage like that, so I can't completely explain it to you, but it's pretty clear that angels are heavily involved in the lives of children. And then if you go to Hebrews 1:14, God says that they are actually, even though they're more powerful than we are, and even though they've lived longer than we have, they're actually, one of their ministries is for us, wicked sinners. But obviously, once we are redeemed, things change. Notice Hebrews 1:14. Are they, talking about angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? So it's talking about those that are born again, those who are heirs of salvation. He says they, talking about the angels, they're sent to minister to us. Now, we're not going to understand all this till we get to heaven. But remember, there is a genuine, real spirit world that we cannot see with our eyes. And the best way that we can have an impact in all of that is to get on our knees. It's just amazing to think about the power of prayer. Because he says, and back in our passage, chapter 10, verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard. Isn't that good? Thy words were heard. Daniel, your prayers were getting through. Amen? Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. I am come because of your direct prayer. I want you to understand that, Daniel. I'm here because you prayed. Not because someone else prayed, but because you prayed. Think about the power of that. that this powerful angel who's been in this battle for 21 days was sent to be a blessing to Daniel because he prayed. Well, when we pray, what does God do? We don't know all that happens up there in that spirit world, do we? But from this example, we can see that there's a lot going on that we can't see with our eyeballs. Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Does God hear our prayers? Well, if you're born again, he does. We're told to come boldly to the throne of grace in Hebrews 4. Why? Because we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been covered by his blood. We now have access to the throne. And only a few times in the Bible has man been given glimpses of this spirit world. There's another one in 1 Kings. We'll turn there quickly. Sorry, 2 Kings chapter 6. This was in the ministry of Elisha, who took over from Elijah. And in Elisha's ministry, there was a time when they were in a city that had been besieged, and it looked like it was impossible. It was impossible from a human standpoint. And one of the men that ministered with Elisha said, basically, it's impossible. We're all going to die. Woe is us. And notice here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now, there was only a few people in this city, and it was surrounded by a multitude of soldiers. But Elisha turned to this one of his assistants, and he said, "You don't need to be afraid. There's more on our side than their side." And his assistant's thinking, "What?" He's looking around, and he's looking outside the city and seeing all these soldiers. Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Gives you goosebumps. Lord, let him see what's really going on. And this young man was allowed to just get a little glimpse of the spirit world, and he sees the city surrounded by these chariots of fire about to fight for God. And they didn't even have to fight. God just wiped out the whole army. So there's a lot going on out there that we don't see. But it should encourage us, if you go to Acts chapter 10, to know and believe and understand that God hears our prayers. Amen? That when we pray, we are speaking to the Creator of the universe. And we only have that privilege because of what Jesus did for us. Notice Acts 10, verse 30. Another example in Cornelius. Now, at this point, Cornelius is an unsaved man. So keep that in mind. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard.'" But of course, this prayer was for to know God, to find salvation, which is the prayer that God will hear of the unsaved. Amen. Is to find Christ. "And thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God." And we know what happened. Then God sent Peter to preach to Cornelius, and Cornelius and his family all got saved. And then Acts 27. We'll look at another one in Acts. This is in the life of the Apostle Paul. Acts 27, verse 23. All of these should just encourage us to know God hears prayer. What a simple truth, and yet how important for us as Christians to believe. Acts 27:23. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.'" This was when Paul was on the big ship with all the prisoners, and they had the big shipwreck and ended up on an island. And an angel met Paul and said, "Paul, don't worry. I'm going to give you all of their lives." And they all survived the shipwreck. God hears our prayers. Amen? This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. 1 John 5:14. He heareth us. That's important for us to understand and believe tonight. And that's really the first thing we see in this passage is that God hears prayer. The second thing we see is that prayer, look at verse 13 of our passage in Daniel 10. Prayer activates, if you will, things in the spirit world that we cannot see, but they are real. Notice verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Now, we don't know who this is, but it might be the devil. He's referred to through the other names many times in the Old Testament. Whoever it was, he and this unknown named angel fought for 3 weeks before the angel could get to Daniel. As a matter of fact, he says, but lo, Michael, and we know Michael is the archangel, lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So I was battling this prince of Persia for 3 whole weeks. Michael came and helped me out and helped me win the battle so that I could come to you, Daniel, one man on the earth. Wow. Think about that. These powerful beings, much more powerful than we are, being sent by God down to be a blessing and to minister to us in answer to our prayers. And maybe even having to fight a spiritual battle that we can't see to get here. It's fascinating when you think about it. Let's look at some more. Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about these powers. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. When he's talking about the things that cannot separate us from the love of God, notice a couple of things that he mentions here in Romans 8:38. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Now we know there's cherubims, we know there's angels, we know there's seraphims. Maybe there's others that aren't named. He says any other creature can separate you from the love of God. But the point is, he mentions principalities and powers and other creature. Now go to Ephesians 6, verse 12, and we'll see it again. So we're given the glimpses of the existence of this separate world that's out there, that's real, that these heavenly beings are fighting sometimes on our behalf. Notice Ephesians 6, 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, does that not remind us of the power of prayer? Because we can't physically wrestle these things, can we? We can't wrestle principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness physically. So how are we wrestling with them? In prayer. And so it just reminds us that power of prayer, and that this angelic being was held up for 21 days in a separate battle just to get to Daniel in answer to his prayer. When we get on our knees and approach the throne of Almighty God and enter that Holy of Holies, it's good to be reminded of that, the power that's involved there. That we are speaking to the one who is all powerful and who's willing to send these other beings that he's created to help us. Sinners saved by grace. It's fascinating. And he mentions this battle in verse 20. He says in Daniel 10:20, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight. He says, my battle's not even done. Michael just came and helped me out to give me a break. I got to go fight some more with the prince of Persia. And when I'm going forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. All these battles that we don't see. And verse 21, but I will show thee, Daniel, that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there's none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now, we've already met Michael, but we'll meet him again in chapter 12. If you want to turn over there quickly, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And in that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." It's talking about the tribulation period, the battle that goes on then, and how Michael will be involved in protecting the Jews. Michael's also mentioned in Jude 9, if you want to turn there quickly, the book just before Revelation, verse 9. Michael's been around a while, because here we see him arguing with the devil about Moses' body. Well, that was a while back, wasn't it? It says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee." You see, the devil wanted Moses' body to be like the brazen serpent on a pole and to become an object of worship. That's why God buried him in a secret place. Moses did die, but he took him up into a hill and buried him himself so that Israel wouldn't try to use his body as an object of worship. God knew what they were like. Well, the devil wanted the body to be found, so the devil and Michael had a fight over Moses' body. Moses is already in heaven by now. They're fighting over the body. Another spiritual battle. Fascinating. And then we'll see one more, Revelation 12. This is the battle that takes place in the middle of the tribulation period. And again, Michael's involved. Notice Revelation 12:7. "There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." So Michael and his angels versus the dragon and his angels. That's a pretty big battle. And that battle's all over Israel, of course, if you read the whole chapter. But I just wanted us to be encouraged tonight when he said, "Thy words were heard, Daniel. I heard your prayer. And I was sent to answer your prayer. It's taken me 3 weeks to get here. I've had to fight with the prince of Persia. Michael came and helped me out so I could come." He's going to give him the prophecy in verse 11, or chapter 11. But he said, "I heard your prayers. You're dearly beloved." Said that twice. "And all this other stuff's been going on, and I'm just sharing you just a glimpse of it." Never forget, when you get on your knees and pray, what you're invoking. You're invoking the power of Almighty God. Now, he's not at your beck and call. However, he does have all of these other beings that he's created, and says that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to who? Those who shall be heirs of salvation. Us. Amazing. "And even their angels," he said in Matthew 18, "do behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." We will get to heaven and be absolutely shocked at what all was going on that we never saw. But it should remind us, prayer is powerful. Amen? God is the God that hears prayer. So pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank